Find another reliable volunteer.
What are you thinking about? Fessy asked. Your face is going all squinchy.
I thought about telling her my monetary concerns. After all, she was considering library science as a college major. Maybe I should tell her about the harsh realities of library life, about fiscal woes and endless meetings and the occasional 23 boxes of National Geographic magazine left on the doorstep like 23 foundlings. Then again, this intelligent and attractive young woman was thinking about going into library science. Who was I to discourage her? Dinner, I said. There's nothing but some sad-looking lettuce in the fridge. Fessy gave Eddie's chin one more scratch and sat up, her long, dark hair sliding back over her shoulders.
You were not thinking about dinner. You were still thinking about your boss and the bookmobile.
And someday her intelligence was going to get her into trouble.
What I don't get, she went on, is why Mr. Wrangle hasn't changed his mind. I mean, we're doing great out here.
She flung out her arms at the rolling countryside.
Every week we're getting more people to come to the bookmobile, and they're checking out more and more books. Plus, people are signing up for library cards like every day, and soon we're going to start the contest.
Her cheeks flushed pink. The contest had been her idea from top to bottom, including the ultimate prize of the bookmobile stopping at the winner's house. The idea was brilliant, and I was glad to give her full credit.
Why doesn't he see how cool this is? She asked.
Because he's a... Just in time, I stopped myself from saying an unkind word. Because he's the library director. Because he's thinking about repairs and maintenance and breakdowns and the cost of replacing the vehicle. Fessy laughed.
Replacing? It's brand new!
Indeed it was. But it had also cost an amazing amount of money, and if a future library board ever wanted to replace the bookmobile, we had to start saving now. Where that money was going to come from, I had no idea, but it was too nice a day to worry about it.
Well, I think he's dumb not to see how sweet this bookmobile is.
Fessy turned around and looked at the shelves.
3,000 books, right?
A few more than that, since I'd shoved more books onto the shelves than I should have, but she was close.
And we have what no other bookmobile has.
She tapped the cat carrier with the toes of her flip-flops.
We have an Eddie.
How lucky can we get? I asked dryly.
Murr.
Fessy peered through the slots of the plastic carrier.
He's looking at you. I think you hurt his little kitty feelings.
I doubted it. The 3 months I'd spent with Eddie had taught me many things, and the top two items were, one, a cat's purr makes everything okay, and two, the cat always wins. Eddie was my little buddy, and I loved him dearly, but he could make Machiavelli's advice to the Medicis look like kindergarten lessons. Take the day of the bookmobile's maiden voyage, for instance. Unwilling to be left behind, he'd snuck out and followed me on my walk through town, then bounded aboard when my back was turned. I hadn't known he was there until it was too late to take him home. The patrons loved him. But with Stephen's certain disapproval looming, I hadn't taken Eddie out for any additional trips until Bryn, a 5-year-old girl in remission from leukemia, asked to pet the bookmobile cat. I'd been strong in my resistance to her request for perhaps 3 seconds, which was how long it took for her lower lip to start trembling. As a result, Eddie was now as much a part of the bookmobile as I was. More, perhaps. Everyone knew Eddie's name. I was the bookmobile lady. But as long as the patrons were happy, and as long as Stephen didn't find out about Eddie, all was well with my world. Fessy looked at me sideways.
Aren't you afraid that someone's going to tell Mr. Wrangle about Eddie?
Of course I was. Not really, I said. Stephen says that since the bookmobile was my idea, I should take care of everything about it.
If people as much as even say the word bookmobile to him, he sends them in my direction.